Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
The crooks are brazen. They use the Securities and Exchange Commission name and our logo in their scams in order to make them seem legitimate. Well, don't be taken in. We're going to talk with Owen Donnelly, who is the chief counsel for the Office of Investor Education and Advocacy in the Securities and Exchange Commission, or which we sometimes affectionately call the SEC. What are the signs of some of the things of these typical scams? We're going to find out this information. It's really valuable for you because you don't want to lose your money to investment fraud. Owen, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be back.
Now, this is just amazes me at how brazen the crooks are. They use your name, your seal, to try to rip off consumers. Oh, my God.
This is a really interesting fraud, and we've seen this, right? We see this regularly for years. It has different iterations, but the current one that we warned the public about recently was related to an advance fee fraud loan scheme. And this fraud works something like this. The fraudster would reach out to the potential victim, usually via email, and say something like, "We're the SEC. We've recovered these investment monies for you, or you can get a guaranteed loan of $100,000. In order to get those guaranteed proceeds or the loan, you just have to put down 10%, which is $15,000, $20,000, $10,000. And we saw, and they used the SEC seal, they used the name of actual SEC employees. Fortunately, in a number of cases, folks reached out to us first, and so we were able to get the alert out. But no, the crooks are quite brazen.
Now, for one thing, you don't do that sort of thing, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you're
not
going to send me an email saying, "Shirley, I'm going to give you all this money. Just give me a little bit up front."
Never. You will never have the SEC approve or endorse a loan. The only time you could be contacted is with respect to a case. And if you are contacted by the SEC, no one will ask you for any money.
Right.
I can promise you that.
And actually, you do give out warnings about companies and things, but that's through press releases and through your website. Where can consumers go to find out? You have something called Edgar, don't
yes.
you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about Edgar for just a minute in case our listeners aren't familiar with it.
Sure. So Edgar is a database, E-D-G-A-R, that's available at SEC.gov. That can tell you all about registered investments. For example, if you want to buy a particular stock, you can go on Edgar, type in the stock or the company's name or the ticker symbol, and get all the relevant disclosure documents like a registration statement or an annual report. What I always recommend that investors do that are considering any investment is start with investor.gov. INVESTOR.GOV. And from that landing place, that's our website designed exclusively for retail investors, for regular folks. You can get into Edgar and other databases that you might find valuable, such as a database we have to check out financial professionals.
Yes, that can tell you how many complaints have been lodged against someone who may be professing to be a real expert in, there's an ad on TV that I absolutely adore, which is the guy starts giving investment advice. And have you seen it? And the couple says, "Oh yeah, I'd let you do my investment." And he turns around and he says, "I'm a DJ."
With the caveat that everything I say is just my own opinion and not necessarily that of the commission of the staff, I've seen that ad and it is very funny.
It's funny, right. It is funny. But it's just a warning to say, hey, watch out. You never know where your advice is coming from. And using the SEC information is a valuable, valuable place to start. And to check out the financial health of companies, you give that information too right under Edgar. I've used Edgar a number of times.
That's exactly right. You can check out both the person and the product. And those are really two of the smartest things you can do to protect yourself before making a decision.
Before you do something. And it's no guarantee. You still got to use common sense. But yet it's one tool in your investment portfolio, I like to think of it.
That's exactly right. The vast majority of retail-facing securities fraud, or at least a great many cases, involve unregistered people, folks that are not registered mm-hmm. with the SEC or with the state or with FINRA, which is the self-regulatory organization for brokers. If you go to our databases and don't find a person who purports to be selling you legitimate securities, that's a red flag.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do they have to be listed with you?
If they are a broker-dealer or an investment advisor, they must be registered with the SEC,
okay.
with the state, or with FINRA.
Okay. So one of those three places.
That's right. And you can search our database on SEC.gov or investor.gov. We'll cover all that space. If you don't find that person and they tell you they're a financial advisor, you should be very skeptical.
Well, now that the economy is improving and people are starting to look around because they're finding themselves with a little money, and God knows, I'm sure some of them hope that they're getting farther ahead and that they can afford to invest. I mean, I guess you can almost say that you can't afford not to invest your money. But the big thing is to make sure that especially if you're trying to do it on your own, do be very careful, very, very careful. Back to the advance fee loan. You know, the advance fee loan has been around forever. I mean, it has suckered consumers for I don't know how long. You know, give me a little bit and I'll give you a lot. And it doesn't work that way, does it?
It never works that way. And there's so many iterations. Some are covered by the SEC's jurisdiction and some aren't. For example, there was one a couple years ago where the fraudsters stated that they had a large cache of gold. I believe it was in Africa. And if you could send them $20,000 or $30,000 for the fees and the shipping costs, they'd give you $100,000 in return. And sometimes it's even more ludicrous than that. Unfortunately, especially for folks that have not that don't do their due diligence, you know, there are regularly victims of these types of scams.
Well, they look legitimate. I mean, so many now documents can be produced that look exactly like stock certificates. They look like all kinds of legitimate documents. So it's a little bit easier to be fooled if you aren't really on your guard. And I think one rule of thumb, and you know, it's the old saying, if it looks too good to be true. I mean, you got to check it out. The website, again, tell people where they can go.
The best place to start is investor.gov, okay. investor.gov. That will get you to sec.gov. That will get you to Edgar. That will get you to the broker check and mm-hmm. what we call the IAPD, which is the Investment Advisor Public Disclosure Database. But it's a really a great starting point to check out types of investments and financial advisors.
And you also can get your alerts, your consumer alerts,
oh,
which are
yes,
very
thank you.
Timely.
Yes, we put out usually two or three alerts and bulletins a month on a wide variety of topics, often related to scams we're seeing. We're lucky to have them disseminated by people like you, but they're available online. And if you'd like a hard copy, we can send those. We have a phone number that's 1-800-SEC-0330. That if you have any questions, you can call us. We do not give investment advice, of course, but we're more than happy to help answer any questions you may have.
Repeat that number, please.
It's 1-800-SEC-0330.
Okay, great. And you really need to, you know, you need to pick up the phone. You need to go to your computer and check it out before you write a check or give any kind of access to people. Because let's face it. There are a lot of crooks out there. There's also a lot of really good investment advisors, but you've got to learn to know the difference, and that's the big challenge, I think. Let's just take a brief pause and let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Owen Donnelly. He's the chief counsel for the Office of Investor Education and Advocacy with the Securities and Exchange Commission. We affectionately call him the SEC. Owen, it's so good to have you here talking about some of this stuff because it's so timely. And so important for consumers to know these crooks are very sophisticated. That's why people fall for these frauds. And if somebody does fall for it, for goodness sakes, don't be embarrassed. As I say, get even. Contact you all.
That's exactly right. I think sometimes there's a stereotype of victim as an unsophisticated person who doesn't know better. And the truth is that's just not at all right. The vast majority, I mean, many, many victims are very sophisticated. I mean, as I've heard you say, Shirley, you know, criminals go to where the money is.
That's
you know,
right.
Same reason bank robbers. Right.
That's exactly
the principle.
Right.
And these folks, especially older investors who have spent a year accumulating wealth, those are the targets. And if you suspect something, please reach out to us or another regulator for
now, help. Let me ask you, when you get a report of one of these scams, are you often able to identify where they're coming from? I would suspect that a lot of them come from outside our country.
Unfortunately, that's exactly right. It can be very hard to identify, especially the advance fee fraud, the types where you're seeing spam email. Those can be very hard to identify. But that does not mean there's not a great deal of value in reporting them. One, it can give you more comfort that you found the fraud and to make sure you don't invest personally. But it gives us a basis on which to issue alerts to the public, to add information about what we understand the frauds be. Because the fraudsters, as you mentioned, they change strategies all the time. And the more information we have, the better we can help investors protect themselves.
Well, and you would like to see information and hear from consumers if they've just been approached. It doesn't have to be that they've been victims. Am I right?
Yes. Oh my gosh. In fact, it's far more heartening as someone who works at the agency to talk to victims, but people who aren't victims, but people who have spotted this on their own. In fact, the seal alert that we sent out was really based on a couple complaints, and I don't believe any of the folks that sent those in were victims.
Okay, well, that's great because it alerts you to what's going on, and in turn, people like me can alert the general public as you do as well. Well, what are some of the signs that it's an advance fee? It's going to be asking for money up front.
Yes.
They're promising you large amounts of money?
Yes. I mean, those are the two hallmarks are that they will ask for money up front in exchange for getting money later. That is a very unlikely investment. So that alone is a red flag. And then it usually is. While not all the frauds are so brazen to say they'll double or triple your money, they offer returns that are just blatantly unrealistic.
They're just not real.
I mean, my sort of rule of thumb, and this is a personal rule, is if anyone offers you more than a bank account, you should be skeptical. If they say it's guaranteed. Now, of course, investments can do very well. Investments can not work out. But a legitimate investment, an offeror, will tell you what the risks are. Will tell you here's the upside, here's the possible downside. These advance fee fraud scammers are not telling any. They're not warning anyone that this is a fraud. They're not warning, and they usually do involve sort of strange circumstances.
Oh, and are you seeing now that most of these are coming through emails? Because it used to be it came through the general mail or through phone calls.
Right. They still do continue to come. We do occasionally, I believe, we see hard copy mail. We do see phone calls. Most are emails. But surely, as we've talked about in the past as well, in addition to email, we do see some on social media as well. That's an emerging space.
That's a great way to segue into social media because you and I have talked in the past. That is one thing you should not do. Is use social media as an investment advice?
Not by itself, certainly not. Now, there are advisors and brokers who have social media platforms, and it can be a great way to learn information. It can be a great way to get exposure to different ideas and different people, to learn your news. But relying solely on a Facebook post or a tweet to make an investment decision is just really a terrible idea.
So you're just shooting out my new investment fraud. I'm going to put it up there. Shirley Rooker recommends that you invest in this. You send me money and I'll give you back lots of money. And people actually, well,
unfortunately,
I'm not doing that.
And that's the smart play.
That's exactly what people do is put themselves forward as experts. So you have to check them out is basically.
That's exactly right.
They may be an expert and that may be totally legitimate what they're doing. But how do you know?
That's exactly right. We have a Twitter account. It's called SEC_investor_ed. And there is a blue check by our name on Twitter, which means we're a verified account. But even if I were to say, even were right on that account, you know, on our Twitter account, you know, you should invest in this. That even from a verified account, you should be skeptical. You need to do your homework. Again, it's the same red flag.
I'm surprised the hacker hasn't done that to you already.
You don't
want to talk to me about that.
We take cybersecurity very, very seriously.
I am sure you do. Well, so anyway, beware of seeking investment advice solely based on what you see on social media.
That's exactly right, especially the unsolicited. I mean, if you're on Facebook and someone reaches out to you, I mean, and part of this, and Shirley, we've talked about this before, has a lot to do with what type of privacy settings you allow.
Yes,
we were talking earlier about on Facebook, for example, you can control to some extent who sees your posts. And who you may receive incoming messages from. If you set your settings such that you can receive messages from strangers, don't be surprised if a stranger you get a fraudulent pitch. On Twitter, where you follow lots and lots of different folks, you know, you don't know all of them personally, probably, and so you just have to be skeptical. It's not to not use these tools; these are fantastic tools
sure.
in many ways, but it's just to be careful.
Well, that's right. You know, and watch out again, as we said, if it's too good to be true. So,
definitely.
But again, let's give out your contact information for the website and the phone number.
The website, the best way to obtain information is at investor.gov. That's INVESTOR.gov. From there, you can access the EDGAR database of registered companies. You can access IAPD, which is our investment advisor database, our broker-dealer database, which is run by FINRA, and much more information like alerts and bulletins. In addition, if you prefer to use a telephone, you can call our office at 1-800 SEC 0330. We do not give investment advice, but are happy to answer any questions we can.
So if people have gotten something in the mail or through email or whatever, then if they call you, they can run it by you and you can tell them whether or not it raises red flags.
We can absolutely take a look at anything someone sends us. Now, we are not there's due process. There's an adjudicatory system. We're not enforcement attorneys. But Certainly if someone has something that raises red flags, feel free to call us.
And it, as you pointed out, it may raise your awareness of a scam that's just starting even.
That's exactly right. I mean, even if you've already decided that this is too looks like too much a scam for you, if it deals with an investment, we'd love to see it too, because
the more
we know, the more we can help.
Send it on. So people can just email you copies of things,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Investor.gov is the easiest place.
And you have links there for consumer complaints and
we
all
do,
of
we,
that.
We do. We have there's a, on the right-hand side of the landing page, you can submit questions, complaints, and comments.
Okay. Yeah. And I really recommend that people do that, because it serves two purposes. It alerts them and it alerts you. And that two-way street is really important in getting information out to the public. So let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Owen Donnelly. He's the chief counsel for the Office of Investor Education and Advocacy with the Securities and Exchange Commission. And we're talking about frauds and ways to check out. And such a valuable resource is Edgar, that you can get through their website. Use it. It's interesting to just go in there and read it sometimes. I do have strange reading habits. But at any rate, well, there's another scheme that you were telling me about before we went on the air, and that was the Prime Bank scheme. Now, this is a pretty sophisticated kind of fraud, isn't it?
These are very, very complicated frauds in one sense, in that the fraudster describes an exceptionally complicated trading strategy or banking strategy. They'll often say something like, we have access to banks, often in Europe for some reason, that will lend money at a very high interest rate. So they'll say, we can lend money out at 20 or 30% a month. And then we'll give you half that return. So if you give me $50,000, I can loan it out at $50,000 a month, and I'll give you 25 of that. And at the root of it, it's the same red flag that you mentioned earlier. It sounds too good to be true. That's a return rate of 20, 30, 40% a month. By those standards, it's plainly a fraud. But they disguise it in very complicated terminology. And it goes back to, you know, the biggest – if you don't understand the product – don't invest in it.
Right.
And by definition, I mean, these products are so complicated because they're not real. So if anyone uses the term prime bank or guarantees you a super high rate of return based on their ability to loan out money, that's a red flag. And we issued a warning about that, I think, 6 weeks ago.
And these are coming from email sources usually?
Often they are. This is a little different than our traditional frauds. While they do come in unsolicited through email, even through faxes and phone calls, we have brought cases against actual advisors who are selling these products.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So this is.
So there are real people here that you can get your hands on.
Yes.
Or handcuffs.
Yes,
on.
We sure have. Now, we don't have criminal jurisdiction, but many of them are. The Department of Justice
does.
Well,
there are folks who do.
and they do get them. Now, my strong caution, as always, is to deal with registered folks that are registered broker dealers and registered advisors. Mm-hmm. But if an unregistered, unlicensed person tells you they've got access to a prime bank deal, that is as likely to be a fraud as anything I've heard
of. So they're going to dangle names of legitimate banks like the Bank of England or the Royal Bank of Scotland I guess these are real banks. I don't know. But they're going to have some impressive name associated with this scam. And you look at it and you go online and you look it up and there's this bank and it's real and it's got an address and all kinds of information. So that's, I guess, lends a layer of authenticity to it.
That's exactly right. We call that source credibility. And it is a very common tactic that fraudsters use. There's sort of two variations of it. One, they use the actual name of legitimate investment banks and firms. Or, and this is slightly trickier, and they do this to avoid detection, they'll use a one-off from the name. They'll misspell the name of a broker, or it'll sound impressive but really won't be anything. On the other hand, we've seen, and to relate it back to our earlier use of the seal fraud, we've seen frauds where the fraudsters have built a website that essentially purports to be SEC.gov. They misspell securities. It's some one-off domain. We're pretty fast on seeing those. Those come in pretty quickly. But they work the same way with established banks. There are fraudsters that create sites to look like legitimate banks. But yes, source credibility. Again, the only 100% guaranteed way is you've got to do your homework.
Yeah, you've got to make absolutely certain. Yeah, we've seen this with charity scams too, Owen, where it'll be almost identical in name, but a couple of letters off or some slight variation in the name, and set up websites. People go there. They think it's legit. Why do these crooks use their mind and their talents to be bad?
I often think of how clever some of these frauds are. If those folks would put that cleverness into helping people.
Oh, yeah.
But it's good.
They could make money, but somehow that's probably not thrill. There is like, I gotcha. So when you discover like this prime bank schemes and you discover a person is involved in it that actually has physical presence in the United States, then you would turn this over to the Justice Department, or how do you proceed with that?
Sure. It depends on the facts and circumstances. But if my office received a prime bank tip, we would refer it to the division of our division of enforcement, who assuming the facts and evidence supported a case, would bring a case. They might bring a temporary restraining order, a TRO, to stop the fraud immediately. They do an asset freeze to seize any money they could get
back. So that's within the SEC?
That's within the SEC.
Okay.
Now, there are a number of factors that determine whether or not the Division of Enforcement decides to refer a case to the criminal authorities. They do regularly. And the criminal authorities, if they take the case, they'll put the people in jail.
Yeah. Okay, so there's two levels, actually. They could be civil and criminal.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, and you do the civil part.
That's right. We are a law enforcement agency.
And you get money. If you get money back, you can send it to me.
we are very fortunate to be able to, when we can recover money, and I should be very clear, it is hard to recover money from fraudsters.
Yeah, oh,
the
yes.
money moves quickly. They spend it. It's very hard to get money back. But when we are successful and seize funds, we can get it back to harmed investors in many cases, depending on how big the case is. We can appoint a court can appoint a receiver mm-hmm. who will marshal all the assets, sell off homes and things like that. So where there's funds, we do a really good job of getting money back to people. But to be clear, hard because the fraudsters spend that money quickly.
Right. Yeah. That's been our experience. Yes, while we may get the crooks and we may find them, collecting the fine is the big challenge.
Right.
And that's been true in any agency.
Right. And they also, I mean, especially the longer term frauds, they lie about the return. So if you've been a victim for 2 or 3 years, say you put in $30,000, and your statements indicate over the course of 3 years that you now have $100,000, it's not just that they've spent your $30,000 plus another. They just never even had the $70,000.
Mm-hmm.
So
so
your expectations can really be shattered. I mean, these folks, they really hurt people. And we do our very best
to get money
back.
Well, let's tell people how to get even.
Yes.
Give us your website and your phone numbers again.
Excellent. The best destination for retail everyday investors is investor.gov, investor.gov. From there, you can reach SEC.gov. You can reach the broker check database, our investment advisor database to check out professionals. And you can go to Edgar to look, EDGAR, to look up public companies.
And the phone number is 1-800-SEC-0330. You can call them as well. Is that 24/7 or is that?
I believe we're roughly 9 to 6 Eastern time, but we leave messages
and we
return calls immediately.
Great. Oh, and thank you so much for bringing enlightenment on how ruthless and clever some of these crooks are. They will do anything to get your money. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest. My guest has been Owen Donnelly. He is the chief counsel for the Office of Investor Education and Advocacy with the Securities and Exchange Commission. And I really do appreciate you bringing these messages to our audience, Owen. You've always provided good information for us. You're listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Shirley Rooker, and you can reach me at shirley@callforaction.org. Thank you.
of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.